Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, November the 27th, 2011.
A few weeks ago, Brother Dennis came to me and expressed that he was going to be leaving us and going back home. And he said, I would love for you to sing for me No More Night before I leave. So I'm going to sing tonight for him, and then we'll sing together. We Shall Behold Him and a couple other songs tonight. No More Night.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am, we will the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ the King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I can live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am, oh, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. Hallelujah to the risen Lamb. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders and praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting. And we
Be seated.
We'll ask the men to come at this time. Unless otherwise designated, we're going to give a special love offering to Brother James and Catherine, and we know that they're involved in going to be involved in ministry in Liberia, and he's already talked to us about the church options and opportunities they're going to have there, and so we'd like to help them a little bit. Father in heaven, we thank you for James and Catherine and their testimony in our midst, Father. We pray that you'll just use them in special ways to minister for you in Liberia, Father, that you'll give them many years of opportunity as they work in the rebuilding of ministry there in that country, Father. Thank you again for your goodness and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
About that name, well, great chorus. Taught you a chorus back in the spring when the choir was doing the musical Into All the World, and I want to start with that. Just a few more choruses together as we wait on what the Lord has for us here in a few minutes. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Sing it again.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. My only hope is you. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you.
And all that I need is you.
Oh, all that I need is you. All that I need.
Ago, about a week ago, Brother James came to the office and said, you know, we want you to dress up special on this night that you're going to be on our last night there. And so he brought us these. It seems to me like Mark Mowry was given one of these. Is that not true? Mark Mowry is in the office hiding from us at this point in time. That's something we'll have to chase down. Yeah, typical story. Although I did the same thing and sent my wife back for it, so. But I've got a part of my outfit that he does not, that these other guys do not have. And they tell me that only the chief gets to wear hats like this. And I'm just going to have to think about that for a while. A picture. I want pictures. All right. Take these pictures, Fred. Check Facebook tonight. That's more information than I needed. So we're looking forward. We got two or three things we're doing tonight. One is we're going to start the helping with the decorating, and in the middle of all that, we're also going to be involved with the reception in the back. And so, and Brother James is getting to is leaving Tuesday afternoon to fly back to Liberia. And it's all been worked out. His wife is going to leave from Minneapolis and flying something else a little different. She's going to get there 3 hours early. And I told Brother James, I said, well, that's really good. She gets there 3 hours early. That means she can take the container and begin to unload it and kind of get the house set up. They had a 40-foot container. And we had just a bukoodle of people that went and helped to load that thing. And then they were supposed to load it out of the house on Friday, and on Saturday they were going to put it in the container. But everybody got so giddy about the work that they just picked it up on Friday. It took about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes to empty the house, get it over on the loading dock. And then it took two or three hours for Tom Crum to work his magic, and Paul Snyder and two or three others that are the gifted packers and everything. Even though I couldn't do much, they didn't suggest that I help pack. And I suspect there was reason for that. I'm not much of a packer, and my wife has handled that for us all these many years. I can just go out there, stand at the end, pitch it into the car, and hope it finds a good resting place. But at any rate, that's kind of where we're headed. I want to talk a little bit about the incarnation tonight. So, Father, I thank you for the word that you give us, and I thank you for the encouragement you give us in the word. And so I pray that these scriptural truths, Father, will just resonate in our hearts, and we'll hang on to these things, and we'll realize that there are good and sufficient answers in your word for all the things that we face. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I work my way through these things over this Christmas season, we're talking about the promises of Christmas, and that's just, we're going to look at some of the major Old Testament prophecies that move us towards Christmas and everything. And so today, we started in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. You remember we looked at that passage, and the real critical point rests right there in the last clause. And King James translates it, it shall, I don't know, do not want to mess up the words any more than usual. It shall bruise thy head, and you or thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the it is basically a Hebrew word that was probably a little better translated he. And the antecedent of this is it's her seed. And so as people have studied the scriptures all through the years, and one of the things I was able to do as I was thinking about this passage was to go back, and there's a couple of people that have written articles, that journal articles that talk about every different kind. They've gone back through the church fathers, they've gone back through the rabbinic literature, they've gone really through all of the Old Testament background, all the New Testament, early church fathers background, to find out what people looked at when they looked at Genesis 3:15. Now, in our day and time, there is a liberal bias, even in the church today. And that liberal bias, first of all, doesn't, you know, in the postmodern thinking, there is no such thing as what they call a meta-narrative. A meta-narrative is an overarching principle. They said there are no overarching principles. Well, now, as we look at the scriptures, we see the providence of God as an overarching principle. In other words, we see that God is in the background working and moving these things and pulling these things together. And so as we see those things, we know that that God's done some special and very positive kinds of things all through the scriptures. Now, as you look at this passage, Luther made a comment, Martin Luther, and when I said Luther this morning, I was hoping that no one was thinking it was the guy on the radio. So this Martin Luther, a little different there. Anyway, he makes a comment. Martin Luther said, "The promise and the threat are both clear and obscure. It left the devil in the dark about what woman would give birth to the seed of the woman, so that he had, that is, the devil had to think of every woman as a possibly becoming the mother of the blessed seed. On the other hand, it gave his first parents so great faith that from that very hour they expected a Savior. Isaiah added clarity by saying that, 'Behold, a virgin shall conceive.' This prophecy made it clear that the Savior was not to be the offspring of the union of a man and a woman, but in the New Testament it was revealed more clearly by the angel." And so what you have is you have an early concept and principle of the incarnation, and that is the fact that God became a man, and that that's what it was going to take to provide for our salvation and for our redemption. Now, I want to look at about two, maybe three passages tonight that really talk about that. So I'm going to run like a dog, so you're going to have to hang with me. The first one I want to mention is in John's Gospel. Okay, I can find John. John chapter 1, pretty familiar verse. Verse 14, and actually you've got that great series of verses where it talks about he came into his own, but the own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to those he gave the power to become the sons of God. And then verse 14, so the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the idea of dwelt here was tabernacled, pitched a tent. So how in the world was God going to do this? He was going to pitch a tent in our midst. And his tent was to take on a human body and to be incarnated. And so when you look at the scriptures and it talks about down from his glory and the whole idea of God becoming man, that's a part that we cannot begin to understand all that is associated with that. Now, there's two other references I want to point you to, and they're both in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he begins by saying, he said, "For the law is a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. It can never with those sacrifices being offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or complete," and everything. And this whole section here, these 18 verses, argue that. And then in verse 5 it says, "Wherefore, when he came to the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not.'" He's looking at the sacrificial system. That wasn't the point, he's saying. "But," he said, "but a body thou hast prepared me." Verse 10, "By the which will we are set apart," we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And of course, whenever I see that, I always think of that great hymn we used to sing, "Once for All." And the hymn writer captures those sentiments and those ideas. Now, there's one other reference. I want you to turn back to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, he talks about the things which Jesus did in defeating Satan and in providing salvation for us, really, in verses 10 through 13, chapter 2, defeating Satan in verses 14 and 15. But then you get to verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he took a body. And it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. But it said here, he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Now that word took is used a variety of times in the New Testament. And if you'll turn back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, you see one of the very spectacular occurrences of this phrase. Let me just set the scene for you, beginning in verse 22. In verse 22, the disciples were going to go across the lake, and so they'd gotten into a boat, and they had been rowing, and the weather became pretty rugged, and they weren't making much headway, and they'd been doing it much of the night. They had to be pretty well tired, and it was a pretty difficult kind of thing. At which point, the scripture tells us that Jesus came unto them. And when Jesus came to them, in their condition, they really reacted to that. And it says, verse 25, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And his disciples, when they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Terrified is a better word to describe that. They were terrified, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out in fear. And straightway, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter says, "Lord, if it really is you, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And then look at verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, that expression there, "for Peter stretched forth his hand," is exactly the same word that's used back in Hebrews chapter 2 when it says, he took upon him the nature, the seed of Abraham. He became a man. He had a body. And so how did God think he could rescue us? What could he do to make a difference and to help in all of these things? And the way that Jesus reached forth his hand and helped humanity was by being incarnated, by having a body so that he could come and live and die for yours and make a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. The word there basically means to reach forward with a view to helping someone. And that's exactly what Jesus did in the incarnation. And that's what he promised back in Genesis 3:15, that Christ was going to come and was going to make a sacrifice for sins. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that is of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and all that he would do for them and would do for us. As we're in this Christmas season, and some of you probably say, "Well, we're still in November. How can we be thinking about that?" I've been thinking about Christmas all year. But as you're thinking about this Christmas season, you think about what it cost God and what the price that Jesus paid to become a man. God became a man. Galatians 4 talks about that wonderful statement. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that we should receive the forgiveness and the redemption that only God can provide. What a blessed, blessed picture that is. Well, I intended to kind of quit early tonight because I knew we had one or two things we needed to do. I wanted to give you something to think about this week as you're thinking about the incarnation. Next week, we're going to talk about the millennium. We're going to talk about the kingdom that God has promised. And we're going to look at that passage in 2 Samuel 7. I think you'll find that to be a fascinating study as we think about what God has planned to do and the provision that he's made. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to, just in a brief fashion, to look at your word tonight and to see your love and your care for us. I pray that in these gatherings that we're going to have tonight, that this will be a special time and will be an encouraging time. Father, I pray for John Ramsey as well, been in an automobile accident, Father, but seems to be doing fine. We pray that you'll help him as he deals with all of the aspects that provides into his life at this time. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. I just got a word that John was in an automobile accident, and he was fine. He was able to drive the car home. When he got home, he found the door wasn't working very well. In fact, it wasn't working at all. And so, he was like Peter. He was sinking. He reached forth his hand and cried help, and who goes but Matt House? And Matt's going to get the door open for him so that he doesn't have to spend the night in the car. So I'm sure John would appreciate your prayers as we think about that. So James, this is your last service with us. So we're pleased that you've been with us, you and Catherine. I'm just sorry she's not here with you to participate. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to encourage you to go back and to fellowship, but also to some of you to help us here as we get things put together in this as we work on Christmas decorations. Father, I thank you for James and Catherine and their testimony for you. And Father, as they go back to a church there in Monrovia, I pray that in a very special way that you'll bless the ministry, that you'll encourage the folks there. And Father, if you should open opportunities for us to partner with them and be involved in that ministry, I pray that you'll just make the doors wide and clear for us, Father, that we'll be able to see what we can do to help. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace and for the fellowship and the food we're going to have in a little while. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.